You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
You got
it. Works. They haven't lost in a damn calendar year with the quarterback.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. They've won 20 of 21. But I even say this too. Even when you're winning, you got to stop being so goddamn stubborn.
Let's go to Jeff Kerr. Jeff Kerr is going to join us right here on Birds 365 right now. You can follow him at Jeff Kerr CBS and read all his work at CBSSports.com. Jeff, welcome to the show, brother. We have a super chat dedicated to you this morning. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Oh, God.
But a great week four, so far in the NFL. How you doing this Monday morning, brother?
Good. It's like I texted John last night in our group chat. All of a sudden, the conversation with AJ Brown, Ed Kratz, and I had with him last week makes a lot more sense.
Are you willing to share more about that conversation off the record?
It's off the record.
Gotcha.
But you know, here's part of the problem. And this is where I disagree with AJ a little bit. And typically I'm team AJ, but that by doing what he did, by putting on Twitter, you know,
I know where you're going here. Yeah.
You open up speculation. And like you've talked to him, I've talked to him behind the scenes, Ed's talked to him. I think I know what he's saying, but we can't talk about it. So, yeah. You know, I've already heard other people going in wrong directions. But I think that's, if you're going to approach it the way AJ approached it, I think that's what you invite.
You know what, John, it's funny you say that too, because during this conversation, AJ and I had a conversation about social media, and I'll just paraphrase it with this. Sometimes it's best not to pick up the phone. I know it's hard to do. Sometimes it's best not to do it.
Well, I agree with you guys, but part of me feels like it. You know, the pressure is in the tube. He's been saying things every week, and they don't seem to listen to him. You know, and he feels, probably rightfully so, like he should be able to make a comment and people should listen to him. He's a good enough player. He's gone through enough. He does enough things for the team. I mean, now there's people saying he's not a team guy. I'm like, this is a wide receiver.
He's a team guy.
He blocks on the outside. Like, he's a like, come on, man. Find me another wide receiver one that blocks like he does. I mean, this is a team player who I think has voiced concerns. And to me, it feels like he doesn't feel like anybody was listening to him in the locker room. As much as he said it, as subtle as he said it. And now it's like, fine, you don't want to fucking listen to me. I'm going to take to Twitter, and I guarantee you'll listen to me because they're going to ask you about it now. Now,
you know, again,
probably not the right way to do it, but that's what I think he's thinking.
You know what's frustrating to me, Xander? And again, I'm not correlating this to anything, but I'm watching games around the league yesterday, especially in the 4 o'clock window. The concepts they have to get Puka Nacua open, Davante Adams open, even Xavier Worthy open. Why is it so hard for this team to do the same thing?
Well, they don't have the great Sean McVay.
No, they have Kevin Petula.
I'm joking.
I know.
Well, John, I know you do joke about that, but is there something to that? Like, those guys do scheme up. Like Jeff just said, Puka Nacua gets 130 yards in his sleep. AJ Brown's got 50 yards through 4 games.
Puka Nacua.
I'm not saying, John, I agree with you with McVay, where I don't think he's like great at all the other parts of being a head coach, but is there something to this offensive mastermind?
Well,
the best there is Ben
Johnson. I think by far when it comes to scheming people open, and then probably I would go to Kyle Shanahan, but again, we'll see how they are. Kyle Shanahan, you know the deficiencies as a head coach. We'll see what Ben Johnson does. It's way too early, but there's a give and take to that. Like I said, Ben Johnson put his team in the worst position possible because he's so creative in the playoffs when he had a must have it drive and he gave the football to Jameson. When he took the football out of Jared Goff's hands and put it in Jameson Williams to throw the football with a season on the line, and Jameson Williams threw an interception. There's a give and take to this.
And Ben Johnson even chalked that up as saying it didn't work. And he not that he regretted giving the ball to Jameson Williams. He said it didn't work. And I'm like, oh, it could have worked if it went with something else.
You got the most accurate cut. Yeah, there's sometimes you go too far. You got the most accurate quarterback in football in a must-have. Look, if you're up 40-7 and you want to show off your creativity, go do it. Have a ball. If your season's on the line, nothing against Jameson Williams. It's not his fault.
By the way, John, this game did go under the radar yesterday. That Bears Raiders game was pretty good.
I didn't see much of it, but I did have Red Zone on. I saw a little bit of the highlights, but you can't get a feel if you're watching Red Zone.
Yeah, I watched the second half because Chiefs Ravens was a blowout. And you know, by the way, Colts probably should have beaten the Rams yesterday. If they made so many mistakes.
You got 2-2 open. Sean McVay, the great Sean McVay, got 2-2 Atwell open, or somebody broke the coverage.
Yeah. 2-2 Atwell had the big but I mean, Ben Johnson said, you know what? I got Caleb Williams. Come hell or high water.
And Ben Johnson's an asshole. He's yelling at Aditi. I don't want to butcher her name on that. It's like, dude, settle down.
He's just an asshole there, but I don't know. I didn't hate it as much as some others did. I'm like,
settle down.
That question right to his face. He did give her the stare of death, though, didn't he? He like stared.
Oh my God!
I'm telling you guys, we had some good football yesterday outside of the game that we're focusing on.
Well, the Cowboys Packers was entertaining. I'll tell you that. Unless you like defense, because those defenses were struggling.
Well, I know a lot of people were chirping about Michael Parsons, but he legitimately saved that loss.
Yeah, he did.
With that sack in overtime. Yeah, he did. I mean, was
Dak was going in. By the way, Dak played well.
Man. Oh, Dak had a great game. Dak and Micah.
Dak's having a good season right now.
Based on Jerry's comments, I don't think he's wrong, but if the Dallas Cowboys have Micah Parsons, they win that game.
Yeah, no question. No question.
That's what I don't understand. Like, that's what bothers me about – look, I know we all like to rip on the Cowboys. I love to rip on the Cowboys. But I'm ripping on the Cowboys because you had a good team and you got rid of that guy. Now you have a mediocre team.
I'm proud of you, Jeff Kerr, that you are showing your loyalty after that embarrassing performance. I'm proud of you. John, I'm proud of you getting right back on the horse.
John.
What do you mean, Pence? What do you mean, John? Would you expect him to bail on it?
Yeah.
I expected him to hide under a rock.
That was a great football game on Saturday.
I didn't watch it.
It was great.
I was watching Alabama Georgia instead because I thought that was a great game. Both of them were good games. I did watch some of Penn State.
I heard they both ended at like the exact same time too.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm flipping on Penn State and I'm like, they got 3 points going into the fourth quarter. Meanwhile, Alabama and Georgia are having a great battle, and I'm obviously a Bama guy. So I went with that. Wait, speaking while we're on Penn State, I want to get the super chat for you, Jeff. He says, hey, Zay, save this for Jeff, Vulnerable Vitality. Thanks for the $20, brother. He says, ask him for me if he wishes Bo Prabula was still there, because he looks damn good in black and gold. A quarterback transfer to Missouri, I believe.
Bo's a good dude, too. A Central PA kid. I was upset when he left, and this is what I hate about the transfer portal, because he had the lead during the playoff, and it makes him look bad, but that's when you have to go. But, look, I thought the offense moved very well with Bo Prabula, and I've been a big criticist. I've always criticized Drew Auer, and I know Drew Auer. It's just – I don't see it. I don't. And yeah, he's right.
But Bo
looks good. And you know, I thought this offense needed a Bo Prabula. I thought they needed a quarterback that can run. And not like Drew Auer can't run. It's just they don't really have him do it unless he's forced to. But Bo just found ways to get guys open and to create space, which is all about college football. I thought the Drew Auer Bo Prabula combination was good for them. And I think now you're seeing what happens when you don't have Bo Prabula on this.
Boy, if Drew Aller's taken in the top 10, I think, I think somebody's making a big. Yeah. I think that's a JJ McCarthy level mistake.
I like Drew a lot, but man, he comes up short.
Yeah, a lot of big moments.
I get it. It's easy to pin things on James Franklin. James Franklin is not calling the plays. James Franklin is not throwing that ball. And look, I blame James Franklin for a lot of stuff, too. James Franklin punted from the Oregon 36 on Saturday night. He punted from the Oregon 36. I'm like,
yeah, he's brutal.
What is the point of this?
James Franklin is brutal. He's always
you
been brutal.
You can't ever punt in modern football from that.
John, you would have loved it. I couldn't send out the text, right? I know Martin would have saw it. First quarter, I felt they were going to lose that game because they kicked a field goal when it was like 4th and 3 from their own. I mean, not from their own. From Oregon's, I want to say 28. And I'm like, this is you were playing not to lose again. And this is why you can't beat these elite teams in college football, because you coach not to lose. And again, this comes from watching the NFL, watching Nick Sirianni, watching Doug Peterson win a Super Bowl. You can't coach like that. You have no trust in your quarterback. You have no trust in your running backs. You have no trust in your offensive line. You coach not to lose, and that is why you are 4-21 against top 10 teams.
Yep, no, I agree. Guys, I do want to get back to the Eagles.
Let's go back to the Eagles.
Yeah, I don't want to get too
far. All right, we got
Monday after the game here. But, Jeff, do you think A.J. Brown wants out? You know, John said something in the opening segment. I don't want to speak for John, but John has never gone there, and he said, now I think it would be fair to wonder if A.J.'s just unhappy here. You think A.J. Brown wants out?
I don't think he wants out. I think he's unhappy with the way things are going, if that makes sense.
No, it does. That's kind of what I think, too.
I mean, like, it's like any other job, right? You could love your job. You could love where you're at. You could love the organization. But there are times where you're just –
let me clarify myself. This is that for the first time when people would say, is AJ getting traded because you have all those weird New England people?
No,
he's not getting traded. He's not getting traded. He's not getting traded. I've said it a million times. This is the first time where I said, I'm not going to guarantee he's going to be here next year. Because I think if things continue to go this way, yeah, I could see him saying, you know what? All right, continue on your way. You don't need me. Let me go somewhere else type of thing. I could see that happening.
Yeah, and he accomplished what he needed to accomplish here, right? And look, A.J. Brown likes to win just as much as anybody else on that team. But look, I get frustrated watching this offense. I do. It's
how could you not get frustrated watching
this offense? Look, the quarterback didn't have a passing yard in the second half.
He didn't have a completion, Jeff.
I don't know.
Completion. By the way,
I don't even care who wins the game, and I get frustrated. Like,
that's how I am. I'm just thinking to myself, every game this happens, this offense just goes dead. And it's not for like two possessions. This is like a half.
Mike Gill chimed in with the same thing. I think Hurts had a concussion after that hit. He got up really slow. Yeah, I think it's conceivable he had a concussion, and
he came up a little loopy.
That's why he was so off in the second half. Because again, I said it before, Jeff. I think people think there's some magic test. Oh, this guy's got a concussion. This guy doesn't. They don't know shit, and they're putting people in, and they often do it with quarterbacks. They clear quarterbacks a lot easier than other guys who are getting tested for concussion. If it's a center, if it's Cam Jurgens, he's getting ruled out.
Yep.
Quarterbacks, they magically clear and they come back in. He did not look like the same guy in the second half. Maybe it's as simple as
It could have been heat related too.
Could have been heat related. Could have been minor concussion. Could have been a bunch of things. But it is strange. You know, if you think about it, I made the NBA comparison. If Michael Jordan's got it in the first half, like Jalen Hurts has got it in the first half, he's got it in the fourth quarter. You rarely see. Yeah. He was almost perfect for the first 30 minutes, and that it was god awful.
Those four quarters between last week and the first half this week, I'm like, this is the best he's ever played. 5 touchdowns and no picks. Yeah, 140 pass rating. I'm like, oh, man, like if this team has figured it out, I don't know when they're going to lose. And then.
Well, and that was the thing. Now, there was a couple times that people were paying attention. They're like, I don't expect that to carry over.
Yeah.
And but it kind of did in the first half.
I'm saying the style of football. Mm-hmm. I said, don't expect it to carry over. Not the effectiveness. Yeah, they were very effective for 4 consecutive quarters. But the style. Everybody knew it was going back to the same style.
You know what? It's funny. Like when you and again, I'm not giving anything away with talking to AJ. It just did not seem like to me, just from decoding a lot of stuff on the record, they were going to go back to what they went before the second half.
All right, yeah, he wasn't the only one.
Yeah, he wasn't the only one who said that, but yes. Yeah.
Let me ask both of you guys a question here, because I just asked you if you guys think AJ Brown wants out. Both of you have clarified what your thoughts are on it. We also just saw Howie Roseman and the Eagles front office trade away C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Now, nowhere am I about to say A.J. Brown is close to C.J. Gardner-Johnson, but what I am saying is the Eagles have a certain threshold where if a player is too much of a disturbance or whatever.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
They don't like it. Do you think AJ is getting close to a level where the team would say, is AJ Brown worth it for this football?
You know, I think John said it best. If you're not going to listen, I'm going to make you listen. And that's what he did yesterday. That's what I think he did.
And the Eagles don't really like that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like that comparison. I'll tell you why.
I don't either, because AJ, I'm not trying to say he's seen it.
By the way, Xander,
I'm trying to use a comp of like, if the Eagles, you know, if you bother the Eagles or you create drama or you create unnecessary headlines, which AJ has done here, you know, they're going to ship you off. I don't know. At what point do they think AJ
first of all, I think people need to understand the Eagles dumped C.J. Gardner-Johnson. If they didn't trade him, they were going to cut him.
Right.
That's true. Dumped C.J. Gardner-Johnson. They ain't cutting A.J. Brown. There is, you know, the old Jimmy Johnson quote I always bring up. I'll treat you all fairly. I'm not going to treat you all the same.
Right.
They're not just saying, oh, we've had it with AJ. Arguably is their best pure football player. We've been through that. You make an argument for some other guys, Saquon, etc. But there's very small lane. There's very small group on that list that could potentially be the best football player in Philadelphia. He's on that list. I think he's number one. I've been honest about it. I think he's number one. They're not just dumping him.
I agree. I didn't mean to comp in that regard, but I got you. You're fine to clarify that.
Yeah. So from that standpoint, you know, that I'm sure there's going to be conversations, and often there needs to be difficult conversations in situations like this. And, you know, I don't think much is going to change, and that's why I think after this season, yeah, maybe this will be it. This is the first time I've thought that.
Which would be a shame if that's the
case. Would be, yes.
Yeah,
I don't think they're changing.
Yeah. I don't like the road this is going, and I get the Eagles process works.
It works. They haven't lost in a damn calendar year with the quarterback.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. They've won 20 of 21, but I even say this too. Even when you're winning, you got to stop being so goddamn stubborn. Listen to your people, and you'll keep doing it.
That's my take on AJ. AJ's trying to tell everybody, so this isn't right. We need to do better. We can be better than this. We should be better than this. And if we want to go and accomplish our goals, we're going to need to be better than this.
This is where I will disagree with AJ. This team wins football games because they are not making the mistakes the other team is making. Baker Mayfield threw a pick in the end zone yesterday. The Eagles did not. That's why the Bucs lost. If you really want my honest explanation.
That ball was tipped, but what was he trying to do on that?
I don't know. That's what I was trying to figure out. I'm like, what are you seeing there? Are you just trying to make a play?
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad.
It's bad. But you notice, as bad as Jalen plays, he doesn't do that.
No. Well, they've beaten it into his head.
And that goes part. If you really want to get cryptic here, that's where it is.
Part of the problem. It's part of the problem. But, you know, they keep winning games, so they feel emboldened.
John, I believe the stat now is 41.
I thought it was 42.
42. Yeah. 42-9 in
42-9.
Takeaway giveaways over the last 20.
That's freaking phenomenal, by the way.
And that's why you win 20 of 21 games.
Yeah. You know, I talked about that with somebody in the organization. And, you know, my whole philosophy is everybody talks about ball security. It becomes this yada, yada, yada. And I got some pushback on that from the standpoint of, yeah, people might talk about it, but they, and to the Eagles' credit, they do all those ball security circuits in practice, and they really do. Because I've seen a lot of practices over the years, non-Nick Sirianni practices, and they do spend more time on ball security and taking the football away. I've never seen so many strip drills in my life.
Yeah. You know, as bad as Saquon Barkley is running right now, and he doesn't have a fumble. He had a couple last year at this time.
Who's having a worse year, AJ or Saquon? AJ's
Xander, did
one game of 8 yards, one game of 7 yards. I can't believe I'm even saying that.
Xander, did you see my tweet yesterday, that my cryptic tweet that got everybody riled up?
Oh, no, I didn't. What was it? I love your tweets, Jeff. I can't believe I missed it.
The Eagles are 4-0. Their quarterback's 23rd of 31 qualified quarterbacks in yards per attempt. Their running back is
I'm surprised he's that high.
It gets even better. Their running back is 42nd out of 48 qualified running backs in yards per carry, 3.1. And neither A.J. Brown nor Devonta Smith are in the top 50 in receiving yards.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. That the offense has been brutal.
Yeah.
The passing offense especially. Well, in the running offense even more so, if you look at it from the perspective AJ of where it should be.
AJ freaking Brown's on pace for 640 yards.
How is that possible? How does he have two games where he has less than 10 yards receiving?
I mean, John jokes about J.J. McCarthy a lot on this show. I bet you he'd be on pace for higher than that with J.J. McCarthy.
I don't know.
Xander, in the 4 o'clock window yesterday, I didn't tweet it, but I was like making a lot of self comments to myself and a lot of comments in a couple group chats to friends. Oh, Puka Nacua just had more yards on that catch than A.J. Brown had today.
Yeah.
Like,
well, Puka's having a great year, man.
He is, man.
He's a unique player, though.
He's on pace for 2,100 yards receiving.
Yeah. He's also playing well. It's not just empty numbers. He's also playing well.
By the way, there is one truth.
But, the Eagles beat the Rams, by the way. Yep. Again.
But what did AJ say after that game, John? You know what he said, and he said it again on Wednesday. Should have lost that game.
Yeah, well.
And he wasn't wrong.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Yeah, shoulda, coulda, woulda. I know it's so hard for me to argue over a team that's.
I know
their quarterback hasn't lost in the calendar year.
You shouldn't be able to win on a walk-off blocked field goal. You shouldn't be able to win counting on C.D. Lamb dropping the football. You shouldn't be able to win counting on Travis Kelce to drop the football.
But you did.
But they did. Guess what? You shouldn't be able to win a Super Bowl the way they played offense last season, but they did.
And it were. And by the way, if you count out these Eagles games, the teams the Eagles beat are a combined 7-2.
Yeah, this is the toughest part of their schedule.
And they're 4-0. It gets easier.
Yeah. You got the New York Giants coming up twice in the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
No Malik Nabers.
I know.
You know what's funny about this? Like, people are like, are the Eagles fraudulent? Or what are the Eagles' problems? I'm like, the Chargers just lost to the Giants on a rookie quarterback on his first start. Don't give me that.
Think there's two extremes, though. Like there's that. It, Jeff, are the Eagles fraudulent? Obviously not. They won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're not.
They're obviously not fraudulent. But at the end of the day, I also think just because they're 4-0 isn't a reason to say, okay, don't worry about
anything. I do want to bring up.
By the way, guys.
Zero completions in the second half. Don't worry about any of these things. I'm like, sorry, I don't agree with that.
Yeah. By the way, Xander, I'm proud of you. I know John would go this route, but I'm really proud. I didn't hear one thing about 2023 out of you, which is awesome.
Oh, my God. That is the
because
I wanted to bring that up. I'm glad you brought that up, Jeff, because I hate that comparison so much.
Yep, I do too.
Because that was the worst defense in the NFL by the end of the season. Vic ain't having that defense.
No.
So I'm not worried about any collapse from that standpoint. You know, I thought the defense was great. Now, granted, as great as you can be, giving up 70-yard explosive plays that are going to kill Vic Fangio if they do it too often.
I mean, with Jahan Campbell's in coverage for 9 seconds, you probably should be giving up a 70-yard play.
That's what I was arguing with Celio yesterday. I'm like, what do you mean it wasn't extended? Yeah, he ran a wheel route. Okay. But you don't expect a linebacker to have to carry the guy 40 stinking yards down the
field. I legitimately don't think there's a single linebacker in the National Football League who would have been able to stay with that.
No. Running back.
30 yards at the field on the sideline? I mean, Jahan was pretty close. I was pretty impressed.
One of my guys I talked to on Twitter, like, sometimes we'll make the conversation public, sometimes not. He DM'd me yesterday. He goes, right in real time, I am so impressed he was even around the running back.
Well, you know, Eagles fans, the minute an edge guy drops, they lose their fucking minds. And they were going, look at Josh Sweat out in Arizona. Same thing with Josh. He was like 30 yards down the field, and he was right there. Had no ball skills whatsoever, which is understandable. But he was right there. I'm always impressed when those guys are even in the vicinity. Look, if you're doing that and you're dropping an edge defender, or in this case, it's an off-ball linebacker covering a wheel route, similar, especially with a Bucky Irving type. There aren't a lot of them, but those receivers, the McCaffreys of the world, the Aaron Joneses of the world, the guys who can catch the football out of the backfield, you're expecting the ball to be out and for them to cover for 2-3 seconds, not 8-9 seconds.
Jahan Campbell's a stud, by the way.
He is.
My God,
he doesn't even know what he's doing yet. Yeah. That's the scary part.
This defense, it's funny. My biggest concern on this team is the non-production from the edge rushing group, and I still think this defense is going to get better.
I think the defense is way ahead of schedule. I think they look really good.
I think the defense has been great.
Can we please talk about how bad these edge rushers are?
The edge rushers are bad. I mean, look, here's my thing on the postgame show. We lost Nolan Smith this week. Like I kind of knew the edge rushers weren't going to look as good. We lost our starting edge rusher this week to IR. You know what I mean? So
yeah, exactly.
But you're right. There's not a lot of depth, and you can make an argument it could be an issue for this team.
We talked about this in all summer, Xander. Like, what happens if one of these guys goes down, one of the good ones?
Yeah, well, you're saying it.
I mean, as easy as you are,
he can't even get dressed.
He can't get on the field.
He's the Devin White of this season. Everybody's like, well, I think he could be – he might be the next Zach Bond.
I don't think it's at the same level, though, because I don't think that people legitimately thought Devin White was going to save our linebacking room.
Yeah, no.
I don't think people thought that about Aziz.
I had a lot of Aziz.
How many times did you tell me during camp when we were standing next to each other, Devin White stinks?
Yeah, well
– at least 10.
Zach Bond ended up being our savior for the linebacking group.
Yeah, Zach Bond is really unbelievable.
Good. Dude, Jahan Campbell looks like he's going to be insane, too.
Yeah, like I said, he's just an incredible athlete. And when he learns how to play the position, he's going to get better and better. But Zach Bond, man, I can't even express how good and consistent that guy is.
I feel
week
bad.
In and week out.
I feel bad for him, but he's going to play a role this year. Kobe Dean's close.
Yeah, well, they might start his practice window. I'm not going to burn a question on that because we'll see.
I don't reveal injuries.
We'll see. You guys will be out there on Wednesday. We'll see. And we will see. And they might start his practice window.
You know what I really want to ask Nick about? What led to him saying what he said to Baker Mayfield yesterday?
Oh, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't even see it. But here's where my problem with that. I might ask Nick about that. He will not like it, but I might ask
him. Ask him about it.
I'm like, because he gave a really good answer on the taunting stuff on Friday. And I'm like, you're trying to – these guys got called for another taunting. Now, it was Cooper DeJean doing the – Allen Iverson over. What a tackler Cooper DeJean is, by the way.
He's the best tackler on the team.
Yeah, he's incredible.
He's the best tackling cornerback in football. But he did the Allen Iverson step over the guy, which, look, I get, I hate the rule, but that's how they're calling it.
Rule.
Yeah. And he should have gotten flagged by what they want done. I don't like the rule, but the referees, the officials didn't do anything wrong. That's what they want. And you're Nick, and you're saying on Friday, we have to play up to the standard. That's how they're calling it. Didn't make any excuses, which I applauded. I wrote about it. I said, this is the way you should handle it. And then he's out there jostling with Baker Mayfield. I don't know if he's taunting him. You can't tell your players to tone it down when you're the head coach and you're
that's my issue. It's a good thing, but it's a bad thing in their case too. It's both. This team takes on the personality of their head coach. That's why you can't get mad at when Cooper DeJean and Jalen Carter do the stuff they do, because their head coach is literally taunting the opposing quarterback or whatever he's doing.
Yeah, I didn't get a clear indication. I know Tom Rinaldi evidently said something, but I don't pay attention. But so I don't know exactly what it was. That's why it's a difficult question to ask. But anytime he's yelling at somebody on the other team, it's like you got to tone that down, dude.
Yeah, I feel like the NFL is going a little too far. I know they are trying to do this whole thing where they're
complain.
It's like you got men out there playing a testosterone filled sport where they're bashing their heads, and you know, like, they're gonna have some emotion. That's just part of it, you know.
There's,
what I mean?
There's gonna be certain words that aren't children. Yeah,
right. Like, I get it. They said it, so they're gonna call it. I think they're going a little too far with it. That's all. I think they gotta let them play.
Well, I agree. I don't like the rule, but that's the rule.
Yeah, no,
it's a point of emphasis, and they told everybody it's a point of emphasis. They warned everybody. It's not like they don't have these meetings. They have meetings with teams. They tell them. They show the film. This is a point of emphasis. This is what we told them to call. If you do this, it's going to be flagged. Everybody knows it. It's not a surprise to anybody. And that's why I applauded Nick, because so many people don't understand that it's a point of emphasis. And it's been explained to all 32 teams, don't do this shit.
And you do it.
And he said,
like, what is the NFL trying to accomplish? Like, player makes a play. Okay, just get up and like put your hands in your pockets.
You can
and, like,
celebrate. No, you can celebrate. You know, just don't do it in the face of the opponent. That's what you cross the threshold, their threshold, not mine. Don't do it in the face of the opponent. In the case of Cooper, don't step over the opponent. Go celebrate with your teammates. Do whatever you want. Turn the other direction. Do whatever you want. They're not going to call it. But if it's at the player, then they're going to call it. Why do they want this role? I don't effing know, but
yeah, that's not what you're talking about. I get it.
I love this. They want this rule, but they can't figure out the put overtime at 15 minutes. We don't like ties.
How about that Cowboys like Packers game, either. Man? Yeah. That thing ended 40-40. I gotta admit, I was entertained. That's for sure.
I don't get it. I was arguing with people last night. They're like, well, the NBA has 5 minute overtimes. They have 12 minute quarter. The NBA hasn't played to a tie.
It's a different league. You can't compare it's so the stupid. NBA.
Hey, here's what I like about it. Go back to sudden death. Who gives a shit?
Yep.
If 15 people complain on Twitter.
Guess what? I found their loophole to this overtime rule where both teams get possession. You know what it is?
It's, the loophole of stupidity. No, but go ahead.
You can hold the ball for 9 minutes and 59 seconds, kick the field goal, and the game is over.
Oh, yeah. You can have that long drive.
Stupid. Everybody. This league, I'm telling you, they worry about the dumbest shit.
They opened the Pandora's box, and they had different rules for the regular season, the postseason. Nobody even knows the rules anymore. Yeah. It's so over-legislated. Yeah, don't even get me started on that. All because Josh Allen deserves to get – nobody deserves shit.
The Bills had the – I still can't get over this. They had the Chiefs dead, 13 seconds left. And they let that quarterback beat them.
Win the game in regulation, Sean McDermott. Get the ball. Everybody deserves the ball.
No one deserves the ball.
That dude, Sean McDermott, it's a shame that Josh Allen's career has been strapped to that guy.
And you know what? Sean McDermott's a damn good coach, too.
I don't like him. Not my favorite, Jeff. Sorry, I do not.
I love him. He's an Andy Reid disciple.
I think he's a good coach because I think over the – but when you screw up, Like, what bothers me is the whole, you know, Sander, what about, he won the Super, he didn't win the Super Bowl quarterbacks. Like, it's Josh Allen's fault that the freaking head coach bumbled 13 seconds? What does that have to do? Maybe he doesn't win the Super Bowl, go on to win the Super Bowl, whatever. But the point is, then at the end of the season, well, Josh Allen didn't win a Super. He did everything human. He was freaking Superman.
I know. Somebody brought that up, John, yesterday about Harbaugh. I guess the Ravens were trailing big, and he still opted to like punt the ball with
He did.
I'm like, Harbaugh, John.
I almost lost it yesterday. Right. I'm taking advice from a couple Eagles players here on this. So I tweeted about, you're going to really see how bad this Ravens team is without Lamar, right? And someone goes, oh, they're 1-3 with him.
Lamar can't win a Super Bowl.
This is what I almost responded, and I did, but I will say it on here. Lamar Jackson had 9 touchdowns and 0 interceptions the first 3 games. How is that his fault? The defense sucks. Period. Yeah,
I hear. They got a lot of issues.
How can that defense suck, by the way?
All those players. Doesn't make sense.
Mike McDonald, that loss, man.
Anthony Campanelli is another one, too. He's not there.
What's a bigger anomaly? What's a bigger anomaly? The Eagles' offense not being able to get A.J. Brown more than 647-yard base, or the Ravens
sucking with all those players? Explain the Jaguars to me, Xander. They don't know what to do with Travis Hunter. They can't get Brian Thomas open.
That was a brutal pick. I knew it at the time.
Yeah,
but Jacksonville's playing well, man.
They're playing great.
That's where I'm going with.
Also, how about Robert Saleh roasting Liam Cohen?
That was awesome.
I know, but it was like, dude, every team in the modern NFL does that. If I'm not mistaken, every team has quality control guys that are looking at stuff like that. You're saying they're legally stealing signs. How about they're just looking for your tendencies and using it against you?
Am I wrong with that?
Yeah, but I didn't have a problem. He said he made it clearly legally that he complimented them.
Stealing signs, you know, does insinuate, especially with the history of that word in sports, stealing signs, stealing things.
Yeah, but football guys know the difference. What he said, I thought he was complimenting him. And saying what a great operation he has.
But you know how this works, John. Anything you can get motivation.
Well, that's true. And that's where I think, and one of the Jags talked about that. Anything you can, I think it was Trevor Lawrence. Which I'm fine with too. But yeah, I asked somebody in the Eagles organization about that when Saleh said it. Now, they claim they didn't hear the comments, but.
Oh, they heard it.
That shit goes on all the time. I mean, yeah, and teams know it, and you have to deal with it. And it's mainly with those Rams guys. It's really McVay, O'Connell, that tree. Those are the guys who do it. And O'Connell's like quality control guy, went to Jacksonville. So that's who he was talking about. Grant Udinski, and he was in charge of that shit.
He's the offensive coordinator now.
Yeah. And big jump, by the way. And he's doing a good job. But, yeah, everybody does it, and they're just really good at it. So they sort of know, like, your defensive backfield signals if you're not paying attention and you're lazy and you're not changing them up. They know. These are little things in the game. That,
right.
Can I just say how excited I am when Colts and Jaguars play each other now, because it seems like they're going to be the two in that division.
Yeah, that seems a little bit. That division has been such a bore for such a long time. It's pretty good.
My Trayvon Walker dreams are dissipating very quickly the more Jacksonville wins football games.
I've been like kind of a disbeliever in the Colts all year, and I'm here sitting today. They should be 4-0.
All right, Jeff, I got it. Now, a couple questions here, though. I think we got to get back into this here. What's your concern level then on the Eagles offense right now? Because they are 4-0. They are 20 of the last 21. They are 18 straight with Jalen Hurts. They haven't lost in a calendar year with Jalen, as John pointed out. All those things are great, and I agree that they can't be overlooked. But your star receiver also has issues, clearly. What's your concern level with the offense?
I'm concerned. They can't – look, Jordan Mailala said it yesterday. they're one block away, and I agree with them because I talked to them about this. They are one block.
One to a 10. Put it on a scale of 1 to 10.
7.
Ooh, high. Okay.
Yeah, I just don't like how things are going. I don't like how it's not meshing. You're not getting your guys open. You can't get the pass game to set up the run game. They're loading A in the box. The Eagles are still – they see the third most eight-man boxes, eight-man fronts in the league. And they can't seem to adjust.
And they run inside zone into it every
yeah.
By the way, you know what I noticed yesterday? God. I think I noticed yesterday that on the second watch of the game, and it's only the TV thing, which you can't see, but I think a lot of people thought, well, Jalen wasn't handling the blitz in the second half well.
Todd Bowles.
Well, he was great in the first half. Todd Bowles didn't blitz in the second half.
No, he didn't. He didn't
blitz. And when he did, when it looked like he was blitzing, he was dropping somebody. So it's sort of like when people think Bick is blitzing, often he's not. It just looks like it because it might be Zach Bond coming, and then Josh Uche drops out. So it's not really a blitz by his definition. Todd Bowles was doing a lot of that. So that was his adjustment during the game.
That's what I love about football, by the way. You're getting killed 24-6. You just ditch what worked.
Yeah.
You go to something else and say, you know what? What do we got to lose? We are going to get killed or we're going to get back in. I love when coaches do that.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting, and I thought a lot of people misidentified that. They actually struggled with guys in coverage, not the blitz.
And then later, he went back to it.
Yeah. Which I thought it was an interesting adjustment. But, yeah, they're trying anything to try to get back in the game, and that's the desperation of it. But I still think Jalen Hurts wasn't right physically. I think that was more of the issue, and we'll see how that shakes out. Hopefully, hopefully he's not in the protocol or anything after the game and things like that. But yeah, we'll see.
Of course. We can't ask him today, no, John.
See. We'll see.
Oh, you'll get the injury report on Wednesday. You know my policy. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And, you know, whatever.
By the way, tough to argue with a head coach who just – he's fourth all-time in win percentage.
No, I know it is. All right, Jess, so then this is my question on AJ because I brought it up a little earlier. I know people are going to get mad at me, but I don't really care. This is the lead story on the 4-0 football team right now.
This was the number one story on CBSSports.com yesterday, AJ Brown.
Whether people want to acknowledge it or not does not matter to me. AJ Brown, and I asked you guys if you thought that the Eagles might get tired of the noise he's creating on social media and outside the locker room. The Eagles don't like players like that. But my next question would be, you know, to couple with that, if this is their offense and everybody tells me, hey, this is just the way they play and they're 20-1 and they can be this conservative, when do they start thinking about, do we even need a player like AJ Brown? We're not going to use him. He's on pace for 650 yards. That's like a wide receiver 3 on most teams. When do they couple that with, okay, now he's creating noise on social media? At what point does that come into play? Because this does appear to be what their approach is offensively, and they don't want to hear from AJ Brown
this year. I mean, they could be thinking about that. They could have a big year. They could go deep in the playoffs, maybe even win another championship and think, well, we got to pay Quinyon Mitchell. We got to pay Cooper DeJean. We can clear up some space here. We can draft younger players. They could think about it now. I don't like it, but I agree with John. I don't think you give up a player like him. I don't.
I don't either. I would never. But I would also listen to him when he tells me our offense is flawed.
Yeah, I would listen to A.J. Brown on a lot of things. A.J. Brown is smarter than the average bear.
I agree.
All right, since you brought up Quinyon, I want to bring up Quinyon from this perspective, Jeff. Phenomenal game.
Oh, he was great.
He also could have been called for PI 4 times by my count.
The Eagles perfected the whole tugging yesterday.
My thought, and I had this discussion with Slay. You remember the Jefferson game when Slay shut down Jefferson?
Yeah.
They allowed him to be, and he admitted, they allowed him to be very, very physical in a particular. And sometimes you get an officiating crew that's calling things tightly, and what looks like a great game turns into a horrible game because you get flagged three times. How concerned are you? Like, you can't be that obvious.
Yeah, you can't.
Pulling the jersey as he was yesterday.
I honestly thought the officials gave him a couple of reputation non-calls yesterday.
Yeah. I rewatched the game this morning on the condensed version. The Eagles are a handsy football team. Now, I'm okay with it, but for all
when they don't call it, it's great. That's what I'm saying. It's great.
Yeah, again, I love this defense. I think this defense is going to get better. I'm tired.
But you know where I'm going to get Quinyon. Where I'm going to get Quinyon credit, and that's what Slay. It's like a pitcher. You try to figure out what they're going to give you on the edges, and you try to push them out just a little bit farther. And some guys are going to give you the big strike zone. Some guys are going to give you the small strike zone. You got to pitch to it. Same thing here. If the guy's going to give you the big strike zone and Quinyon got it, take advantage of it. I think that's a savvy player. So I think he's very savvy. But you can't do that every week. If you do that every week, you're going to hit a stat.
It might happen next week if you do it. I mean, look, and you know what? The Bucs, you can tell the Bucs were saying something to the official because it was called there in the game.
Yeah. So that, but he played a great game, and that, you know, that's part of it, to understand how they're calling it and take advantage of it. So I think he deserves immense credit for it. But yeah, defensively, I'm amazed by how good this defense has been, even though the numbers don't look great. Like, I don't care about the numbers this early. Show me the numbers in week 9.
It's too early.
And then I'll say.
But hey, John, how'd you think Keely Ringo played yesterday?
I thought he's fine, but I'm like, Baker Mayfield, why are you going after Quinyon Mitchell?
He was shocked. He wasn't shocked.
Yeah, he said that. He was surprised he didn't get more targets.
You know what? I'm telling you, this is Baker Mayfield's weakness. Baker Mayfield wants to show up good players too much, and he shouldn't be doing that.
He does like to do that. You're right. I hope that doesn't go into where he's going with the football, though. I haven't played football
in nearly 20 years as a defender. Man, I'd like to get my hands on Baker.
I mean, can you imagine if and Tom was doing the game? Can you imagine if Tom saw Keely Ringo on the field? Oh, I mean, man. the ball would be going his way
all the time.
Yeah, I don't care.
You guys think Tom Brady's a good? I guess you guys don't really care, but do you guys think he's good on broadcast?
He's not as good as Romo.
That's I've heard the clips of Tom explaining things in a wider platform, whether it's the Cowherd clip or there's another clip. He's phenomenal when he does that.
Yeah.
I don't pay much attention to the games, to be honest.
Tom Brady would be better in the booth. I mean, not the booth, the if Tom Brady was on the pregame show, I would love him so much more.
The early Tony Romo's the best color commentator ever. From the perspective of, he's telling you exactly what play they're running before it. And he got in trouble. Jeff, yeah. I believe that's the case.
I do too.
He did get in trouble. Yeah, he's gotten in trouble for a couple of things he's done over the years.
He literally, I saw him do a whole drive correctly predicting everything the offense was doing. It was amazing. You know, because it was a hurry-up situation. You're doing things on the field. He was predicting exactly where they would go with the football just by the look. It was pretty impressive. So I don't pay that much attention to announcers or color commentators, but I do know nobody has explained quarterbacking as well as Tom Brady other platforms where he gets more time to explain it.
So we'll get Romo this week, by the way. I was told last week it's going to be Nance, Romo, and Tracy for that game.
Big game. Bo Nix stinks to high heaven, but big game. Big game. Denver Broncos coming in.
Yeah, like
good defense.
Yeah, quick turnaround. Too.
Sean Payton, another offensive genius against poor dummy Nick Sirianni.
But all Nick does is win.
Yeah, somehow Nick will beat him. That's my prediction. I'm making my prediction.
You know what I love about Nick?
John, I respect it, John. You're sticking with what you said. You're not picking against them until they lose, which I appreciate.
It was so funny, Xander. So when I had to make my pick this week for CBS, I'm digesting the game. I said, everything tells me the Eagles should not win. But I'm going to pick them to win anyway. And I picked 30-23. They won 31-23. So.
By the way, I don't think they've updated it yet, but so it's probably only through 3 weeks. 35 quarterbacks graded by PFF. Number 35, Bo Nix.
He's been bad.
He's worse than Tua. He's worse than J.J. McCarthy.
He's
worse than Cam Ward. He's worse than Joe Flacco. He's worse than Jake Browning. 35th out of 35.
Where is Jalen Hurts ranked?
Jalen Hurts? Again, I don't think this is updated. But
yeah.
He's in the middle, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's borderline top 10. He was 8th coming into week 4. I don't think he'll be 8th. You know, he had a good first half. It depends. So, pretty good. Number one, I should take a bow on this. Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's your boy, isn't it?
I think he's the number one passing rated, too, and overall offense.
Sam Darnold's having a really, really good
year. Dak Prescott, number two, Matthew Stafford, Josh Allen, Daniel Jones, Indiana Jones, Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts. Those
just think about it. And the Eagles faced two of these guys already.
Yeah. And he outplayed Stafford.
I'm going to give the Seattle Seahawks a lot of flowers. They moved on from Geno Smith, which I was very happy about. I like how they took the chance on Darnold. I wasn't sure how he was going to do. But when they have Clint Kubiak, I'm like, okay, this might work.
Well, you know, I would give Kevin O'Connell credit. But, hey, asshole, you can't move on from the guy for J.J. McCarthy. Hey. Can't do it. You can't listen to outside voices. Oh, he had a shitty game in the playoffs. Well, he got siege because your offensive line stinks.
By the way, John, don't you love what the Seahawks did with their process? Okay, we like Abraham Lucas. We like there were a couple of, but they signed some guys on the offensive line. So you know what? We're gonna make sure this guy is protected, and we trust our playmakers to make plays, and it's working. Jaxon Smith-Njigba is a stud.
Yeah, he is.
He's a really good player.
I tell you, when you get a high volume thrower like AJ would like to play with Sam.
John, I'm such a jerk when I play fantasy football, right? So I have a dynasty league, and everybody goes, Kurt, all you do is draft Ohio State receivers. I'm like, you see what they do? Stop giving them to me. Draft Emeka Buka higher.
Yeah, Abuka's beast, man. Yeah,
I got Jaxon Smith-Njigba in the second round.
All right, Jeff, I got one final question before we let you run here. We got some stuff to do here. And it comes from our boy in the chat, Bourne. He says, what's our number one priority to fix? Feeding AJ or getting Saquon going?
They both coexist. They're both the same thing.
I would say getting Saquon going because that's how they want to play.
Exactly.
But that's how they're trying. You got to get the pass going to get him going.
I agree with that too, Jeff. I think that's one of the issues with the running game. They're stacking the box. You just saw the stat. They're playing more stacked box against the Eagles than anybody in the league. And we keep running inside zone into them because we can't pass the ball for two of the last four halves of football.
You know what's hilarious, Xander? I can't even say that Saquon has diminished a bit from the 2,000-yard year. And I keep trying to tell people this. They ran the kid's legs off last year. But I don't know because they got 8-man boxes all the time. Saquon Barkley doesn't have a 20-yard run this season.
By the way, just real quick on the Seahawks, did you see that viral clip of Anthony Bradford?
Of course. Their
offensive coach. Oh, my God. I feel bad for the guy. I'm going to retweet it. I don't know who did it first, but anyway, it was a brutal takedown on TikTok, but people should check it out. I just retweeted it. But I've never seen to the point that the Eagles' offensive line is struggling, and they are by their own standard. Look at the rest of the league. There are some brutal.
That's why the Eagles are 4-0. No one, Sleek isn't good. I watch them. I watch too many. The Packers, Cowboys on live. I'm like, none of these teams are beating.
Darian Kennard's out there playing right tackle for the Packers. Now, Zach Tom is great, but he's hurt.
Oh, John, I'm watching the clip you just read.
This is unbelievable.
This is my thought.
He's their starting right guard.
Oh, man.
This is my honest thought on the Green Bay Packers. If Jalen Hurts was their quarterback, they'd be 4-0.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it.
I'm tired of hearing about Jordan Love.
Romeo Doubs wouldn't be happy. He's happy with his three touchdowns and the 40-40 tie. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, and it all depends on the coaching as well, because I don't think Matt LaFleur, you know what? I don't think they'd be undefeated, because I don't think Matt LaFleur would build an offense around Jalen Hurts.
No, he wouldn't. He couldn't. It's just not his game.
That's part of the problem.
I thought Jordan Love played solid last night.
Everybody looked good on offense.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody.
John, if Sean McVay didn't get a Super Bowl, we'd be having a much different conversation about this tree.
Now, people love Sean. Sean's a good coach. Don't get me wrong. People get me wrong. He's just overrated because he's rated so highly.
Yeah.
Well, I do think
that's the point of overrated.
This is my thought on McVay. I do believe he's a great offensive mind, a really good offensive mind. I agree with John on
no question.
Look, John has explained this hundreds of times on this show. Being a head coach is about a lot more than X's and O's, and it's a hard job, and most people who get the job are surprised by how much shit they have to deal with. I think Sean is not so good at the other stuff, but he's still a great offensive mind, at least in my opinion.
Phenomenal offense.
You know what I hate about every coach today, and Nick Sirianni is one of the biggest culprits of this. Speak less. Like, I don't care about your 10-minute rants on something.
Nick is doing it for a purpose, though.
They all do it. All do it for a purpose. McVay does it for a purpose. Kevin O'Connell does it for a purpose. I'm like, guys, less is more. Trust me. I don't care.
Not in their mind. They want less. They want less.
I'm the shut up.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff. Great show today, man. We appreciate you joining in. As always, the Birds are 4-0, and a lot of people will tell you, hey, man, quit crying. Quit talking.
4-0.
4-0.
I don't feel like that. But
Jeff, hey, I had them 2-2, so that's better than I thought they'd be.
I have 3-1.
Opponents. Yeah, it's considering the opponents. It is a good thing. Jeff, good stuff, man. We'll talk to you again next week. All right, brother.
Andrew, big weekend, by the way. Big weekend coming up here.
What do we got?
What's coming up? Penn State, who?
Phillies, baby.
Phillies.
Red October.
Red October.
I thought you were talking about college football, and I'm like, Bama just had Georgia, and they beat him. By the way, Ty Simpson looked great in that football game. But, I'll definitely be locked in on the Phillies.
Red October, when it lasts. They'll beat the Reds.
This is a big weekend for a big week for John McMullen, too.
What, traffic-wise?
No. your baseball team plays their biggest rival.
I'm disgusted by that. I'm disgusted.
John, you talk about the big week for John, and the first thing that comes to mind is, is the traffic going to be?
First of all, you're not even going to be dealing with Phillies traffic this week.
The New York Yankees had the best record in the American League, and they don't get a bye because they don't play playing games anymore. I'm disgusted by that rule change. And, you know, they should beat the Red Sox, but the Red Sox are good. And, I don't like it. I don't like that rule.
Yeah, me neither.
Now, the Blue Jays beat them in the season series, so they deserve it under the rules, but I don't like that rule. You should have one game for the division crown. The bye means too much. You shouldn't just give it to somebody.
I know what Major League Baseball is thinking. Well, then they're going to turn around and play the next day. Well, then they have to turn around and play the next day. They do it all the time.
Exactly. It's baseball. You play every day.
Yeah, right. All right, Jeff. Thank you, brother. We appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.